Next, Marnie Meakin learns about the work of the Coleman family in Norwich.
Hello, everyone. Today I'm talking to Rod Spokes. Those of you with really good memories might recall that he talked to us a couple of years ago about his work as a Blue Badge guide in Norwich. He's entertained many hundreds of visitors to our fine city, and probably a lot of residents too, with talks about the history of Norwich and the fabulous buildings that we have. Before he retired, Rod used to be the operations manager of the firm of Colemans, and I've asked him to talk about that today.
The original Colemans were farmers around the Borborough area, but in 1804 they buy a flour mill, that's a windmill, near Magdalen Gates. Magdalen Gates is just about where Magdalen Street joins up with Baldhurst Road today. And there they mill wheat to make flour. And that seems to prosper. And so they then decide to develop a bigger business and they move to Stoke Holy Cross, where they buy a water mill. You can still see part of the building as you drive through the village of Stoke. And there they continue with flour milling, but they also develop into mustard. And a little bit later, they get into starch. Starch that is for laundry usage, a great sort of Victorian product for starch. And the business continues to prosper. And then it gets the next generation of the Colemans comes along in the form of Jeremiah James Coleman. He's the name you usually recognise as being the Colemans. You see great pictures of him with a beard in many places around the city. And he moves the business to Carrow. That's Upper King Street, where Upper King Street joins Brackendale, around that area, and buys a large site. And he's a very far-thinking man, is Jeremiah James. He buys it throughout the 1850s. In one aspect, it runs right along the riverside, and water is still a very important way of moving goods around. But the land was owned by the Norfolk Railway Company. And they had just developed the brand new Thorpe Railway Station, because the railways started in Norwich in the 1840s, and they put railway sidings onto the site as well. So we now have a big site, plenty of space for expansion, we've got the river for transport, and we've got the railways for transport. And this ushers in a whole new era for Colemans, because now they can distribute their goods, and particularly their mustard, all over the country. It's really what starts the branding of goods. The Colemans mustard can be bought in Newcastle now as much as it can be bought in Brighton. So it really develops the business. And Jeremiah James, he's in charge of the business from the 1850s right through to his death in 1898. When the business grows, and as well as its original flour and mustard and laundry starts, it also gets into blue, a product later made famous by Reckitt's. And it's another laundry product like starches as well. And so that's the way the commercial side of the business develops until the 1890s, till his death. But Jeremiah does many other things. He's a man who feels he has an obligation to the city of Norwich, as well as he has an obligation to his business and to his workers. And he becomes, or the business becomes, very well known for the way it treats its workers. He's married to a lady who's really called Caroline Cousins Hardy, and she in particular deals with the welfare aspects of the business. So they develop housing. Jubilee Terrace off City Road is one example of workers' housing. They have housing in Trouse and on Brackendale. They provide blankets for people before the winter sets in. They have the first industrial nurse on any business in England, a lady called Philippa Flowerdew, who provides medical attention for people at work. They develop canteens and hot meals. They develop education systems and eventually build their own school on Carrow Hill. The building's still there today. They have their own brass band. They have a certain amount of allotments. So all these many things are available to employees. They're perhaps not always the highest payers, but the jobs are generally secure, and they have this large, what you would call today, social wage with all these other facilities. As the 19th century goes on, he also develops their own sports ground in Lakenham.
He sounds like a fantastic employer. I wish we had a few more of those around today.
Yes, he was one of those guys, a bit like the Roundtrees and the Cadburys.
Yes,
would be very
yes,
good examples
indeed.
Of this type of employer.
And so he contributed to the life of the city as well as
tremendously
because his employees.
You
yes.
might wonder how he gets all this activity in.
Yes,
but he is within the city. He's sheriff. He is mayor, he's MP on three occasions, so he's off to Parliament as well. So he's doing all of that. He's a very keen churchman. Again, he's very much part of that whole 19th century where people combined a church life, particularly a nonconformist life in Norwich, Along with political life, he was a strong member of the Liberal Party and a Liberal MP, and a commercial life as well, all rolled up into one. And he was a member of St Mary's Baptist Church on Duke Street, but his wife was a strong Congregationalist, so he used to go to the Congregational Church that's on Princes Street. It's now a URC church. So that's a theme that runs through his life. But he also dislikes religious dissent, Christian denominations falling out with each other, and he does all he can to keep people together. He is the chairman of the local YMCA. As part of his general evangelical outreach, he also provides money for the repair of the cathedral and Peter Mancroft. So all those other activities are going on in his life. So yes, he's a tremendous contributor to the life of Norwich.
Yeah, it's a great asset to the city. What happened when he died then? Did the firm stay in the family?
Yes, the dynasty continues. His eldest child, Russell James Coleman, takes over as Jeremiah James dies. And Russell James Coleman runs the business until the 1940s. So you have almost 100 years of father and son being the predominant forces in that. And Russell James continues the policy of good employment conditions and very much outreach into the city. He's also sheriff and mayor, and he's also very much involved in the life of Yarmouth, and he's also High Sheriff of Norfolk. He's the first commoner to take on that role as well. So that whole Coleman tradition continues over that period.
Tell us about the buildings. There must have been a lot of buildings involved. Are any of them still around?
Yes, on the Coleman site, which of course you can't really get to, quite a lot of the 19th century buildings are still there and still being used for the Unilevers who currently own the business. There is what is called Carrow Abbey. More correctly, it should be called...
Carrow Abbey?
Abbey, yes.
Not heard of that one.
Should be more correctly called Carrow Priory. Oh. It was a priory built just shortly after the cathedral was finished. And there's a few ruins left of it, which Coleman bought and refurbished. He had two spinster daughters, if you can still use the word spinster today, Ethel and Helen. And in 1923, Ethel was Norwich and England's first Lady Lord Mayor.
Oh.
And her sister Helen was her Lady Mayoress. They're very nervous about taking this role on, but they did. And to celebrate it, they bought what was then called Sackling Hall, which is opposite St Andrew's. Today you'd better know it as Cinema City.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And they bought that, and then they had it repaired, because it was in a very bad state of repair, and they had, you look at it from the front, you'll see two red brick wings on either end of it. They had it refurbished to celebrate their mayoral year and gave it to the city as an educational facility.
How very kind of them. That was a nice thing to do.
It was indeed. No, it was a very good thing. Typical sort of Coleman thing to do.
Yes, yes.
And it's that until the 1970s when it first becomes a cinema.
Yes. And what about Coleman's itself?
Coleman's still
flourishing?
Yes, but changes quite dramatically.
Yes.
In 1938, Coleman's joined up with Reckitt's, a business with a similar sort of background, but very much in household of pharmaceutical products, to become Reckitt and Coleman. And after Russell James Coleman dies in 1946, the business is much more of a conventional business. It's owned by Reckitt and Coleman, and they put professional managers in, many of whom don't come from Norwich, so it loses family connections.
Yes.
But it continues to prosper, and its product range is much extended. It's into baby food, it's into condiments and sauces. For a while, it has a wine business, Coleman's, down on Westwick Street, belongs to them. The Norwich site even made a fizzy wine called Moosek
for a while
in the 70s. It packed honey and peanut butter, so a whole range
Good
of products
heavens.
Were there.
Yes, I'm sure a lot of people don't know that.
No, well, Gale's honey, Gale's peanut butter,
still
around, but not part of the Coleman empire. And it continued developing until the 1990s, when Reckitt and Coleman look at their worldwide business and decide they really have no future in food. And so around the world, they sell their food businesses. And the Coleman food business is sold to Unilevers and Britvic. Britvic take over the Robinson soft drink part of the business, and Unilever take over mustard and sauces and products like that.
Yes.
So the site is still there. Much reduced in employment. About 250 people, I think, work there now. At its peak, the site had about 2,500.
Good Lord.
When Jeremiah James died, there were nearly 2,500 people there. So the business is still there, the buildings are still there, but in different hands and with no Coleman involvement.